Hello, listeners. Welcome to Salon Radio. This is Heidi Russell, founder of International Women Artists Salon, the producer of our series Salon Radio. It's my pleasure to be the host today. And I'm here with our fabulous salonista and presenter, Maureen Van Treese. Hi, Maureen.
Hello, Heidi.
How has everything been?
It has been great, and I've missed doing this.
I know.
We haven't done it in a while.
We've been off air for a little bit, so we are back in full stride for the 2018 season. And if you're new to us, we will tell you later in the show how to follow us and be connected and be involved. But right now, we're going to jump right into our first segment of our radio show, which is our World Bulletin.
All right. Our World Bulletin is curated by the fabulous Barbara Sullivan. Thank you, Barbara. First up, we have from the hashtag MeToo to Oprah and beyond. First came last fall's blast of accusations of sexual harassment and misconduct by powerful men in Hollywood, which sparked the hashtag MeToo movement. In early November 2017, a letter of solidarity was sent to the accusers in Hollywood on behalf of some 700,000 women farm workers, expressing sadness but no surprise because the letter said, female farm workers experience the same abuse on their jobs. The voices of female blue-collar workers were also raised, asking, what about us? Women from factories to hotels to kitchens to coal mines had the same horror stories to tell. The current movement, no doubt, got a lot of traction in the first place because successful women in Hollywood have much more visibility and resources than their counterparts in other fields. 2018 began with 300 of those women, most of whom are household names, launching Time's Up, the initiative to expose and combat systemic abuse in Hollywood and beyond. The project has no central leadership. Each of several working groups concentrates on a particular issue. One group has already raised $13 million for a legal defense fund for victims with few financial resources. Another seeks to establish legal penalties for companies that tolerate abuse. Yet another, called 50-50 by 2020, is pushing for gender parity in entertainment-related companies within the next few years. At the Golden Globes on January 7th, the world saw a sea of black attire in support of the movement and heard many stirring words, capped by Oprah Winfrey's rousing and moving acceptance speech as the first black female recipient of the Cecil B. DeMille Award. The wave is building. You can find out more about powerful Hollywood women unveiling anti-harassment plan in the New York Times. That was the January 1st online issue of 2018 in the movies section. And you can also go to www.timesupnow.com for more information on that. And then we have sculpture that celebrates and decries. If asked when it was she started doing beadwork, the artist Joyce J. Scott will cheerfully reply, in vitro. In fact, her mother was an artist and craftswoman, and young Joyce began learning beading from her at around age 5. Scott also learned to work in glass and fabric. Her mother was also a quilter. And these materials and others are incorporated in the installations and sculptures that comprise her most comprehensive exhibit, Joyce J. Scott, Harriet Tubman and Other Truths, and that is at Grounds for Sculpture in Hamilton, New Jersey through April 1st. Ms. Scott, age 69, proudly describes her 20th century African-American family as making a way where there was no way, often employing their skills in arts and crafts to do so. Scott, the recipient of a 2016 MacArthur Genius Award, herself uses these homey skills to create pieces that can be at once charming, witty, and disturbing, often dealing with subjects such as slavery, racism, and misogyny, including the violence that is inseparable from these evils. One misshapen bead sculpture is titled Rodney King's Head Was Squashed Like a Watermelon. Another series is called Day After Rape. Other pieces celebrate family and motherhood. Tubman, of course, is the central figure. Scott was drawn to the abolitionist as a subject because of Tubman's fierce power and determination, and again because she finds a connection with her own mother. She describes both women as little thunderbolts. And you can read more about that, again, in the New York Times. That was in the January 4th, 2018 section of the Arts and Design. part of the online New York Times. You can also visit the Whitney.org for the 2019 Biennial Curators and get more information there. The last piece we have is Women Directors 2018. Alice Guy Blanchet was the first female film director. She made her first film, The Fairy of the Cabbages, in 1896 at the age of 23. In 2018, her legacy is carried on by a number of women directors making their first or second films. The films run the gamut from tragedy to comedy, from pure fiction to docudrama to history. Elizabeth Chomko's What They Had stars Hilary Swank as a daughter dealing with her mother's, played by Blythe Danner, her mother's Alzheimer's. On a related but lighter note, Abby Cohen directs Amy Schumer as a different woman who gains enormous self-confidence after a serious head injury in I Feel Pretty. Kay Cannon has a strong track record as a writer on both 30 Rock and the Pitch Perfect trilogy. Her first directorial effort, Blockers, is a comic look at a perennial problem, teenage girls trying to grow up and parents freaking out about same. Chloe Zhao's The Rider is a docudrama about an injured rodeo performer. Jennifer Hugh Nelson's The Darkest Minds is a new entry in the YA dystopia field. And Josie Rourke, artistic director of the Donmar Warehouse Theatre in London, brings us the period piece Mary, Queen of Scots, with Saoirse Ronan in the title role and Margot Robbie as Elizabeth I. One hopes Ms. Guy Blanchet would be pleased. And you can find out more about that at www.refinery29.com. And that would be in their January 18th, 2018 section of their website. And I'm going to go right on in then to our interviews. We have a whole host of fabulously talented women with us today. And they're all part of WHAM, which is the Women's History Artists Month. Very good. Okay, I got that right. I wasn't even reading it off the paper. Okay. So WHAM is at the Community Arts at Goddard Riverside. And that is on the Upper West Side. And it provides affordable and accessible arts programming and arts experiences for all ages. All events this month are going to take place at the Bernie Wohl Theater at 647 Columbia Avenue. And to kick us off, I have Susan Macaluzzo. And tell us a little bit about your involvement with the Goddard Festival, with the Goddard Arts Riverside and the Community Arts that's going on here.
Hello, Maureen. Thank you for having us on. I'm with Goddard Riverside. Goddard Riverside is actually a huge settlement house, and we provide many programs for everyone from early childhood on up to seniors, and we work with the homeless throughout all of Manhattan. But the arts is very important to us because we consider the arts the great leveler and the great inspiration. So we do a lot of arts programming, as you mentioned, to make arts accessible and affordable. And with the Women History Month, we thought it would be a really good idea to showcase many women and many issues. And we were able to get together and to curate a lot of programs which deal with specific issues. And the women then have a forum in order to present.
What are some of the issues that you've found to present this month? There's a whole lot of events going on.
There are. And this was done before everything started with the Me Too movement. It's just coincidence. we have issues about surviving cancer. We have issue about audio perception disorder, which often goes undiagnosed. We have issues about immigration. And we're bringing back, actually, Trojan women into it, which we'll talk
we're
more
about.
We're going
to talk about that a little bit later, right?
So there will be, and we have a video music premiere that's all about women breaking through.
Wonderful.
So we have a lot of opportunities to showcase issues.
And this is all during the month of March.
It is from March 1 to March 29.
Yay! Exciting. Susan, tell us a little bit about what brought you to Goddard Riverside and to working with this whole community arts idea and bringing all these things together.
Well, I came to Goddard Riverside actually about 11 years ago as the director of communications. And in 2011, we had a renovation of one of our sites. And with the renovation, we had this lovely auditorium. And the executive director wanted to start what he called a community arts program, but nobody was quite sure what that meant. So we grew it. We had our first season in 2013, and we've grown it so that we, we build these inclusive audiences. We really do have people in the audience, somebody who lives in an apartment overlooking Central Park. We could have somebody who's been sleeping in the park. Mm-hmm. We could have a young girl who's listening to a harpist for the first time, sitting next to a music aficionado who's happy to have this quality programming in their own neighborhood.
So it's you say it serves some 17,000 people a year.
Goddard Riverside does,
26
yes.
programs. Are there specific programs that are all ongoing?
All of our programs are ongoing. They're throughout the Upper West Side and in Harlem. As I mentioned before, it's programs for every age. We have early childhood programming, mm-hmm. after school programming, tutoring. We're a nationally recognized college access. We work a lot with mentally ill and homeless. We also have residential units. So it's it's built from the 1890s, the settlement houses, old sepia pictures, and the model and the mission continues to the present day.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing these lovely, talented ladies in here with us. We're going to talk a little bit to our first guest, Melissa Bell.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
Let me just say that she has been seen in New York at Theater East. She's been in the Reproductive Freedom Festival. Love, Sex, and Anarchy, her play, has had readings in Washington, D.C., at Corner Arts Center and National Museum of Women's Arts. Mm-hmm. I love that museum.
Oh, yeah.
I went there during the Women's beautiful. March. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Lost in Love, I thought this was really interesting, the Air Supply musical.
Yes.
Produced to benefit the Actors Fund by mm-hmm. Ed Triad, featured Constantine Maroulis, Andrea McArdle, and Graham Russell of Air Supply.
Yes.
So I thought that was such an interesting thing. But tell us a little more about what you're going to be doing with this festival, with WHAM.
Well, with WHAM, we are kicking off the festival on Thursday, March 1st, with the 29th Street Playwrights presenting Feisty Women Festival, which is a festival of 8 short plays. They're plays about women, and they're written by women, mm-hmm. and they're directed by women, and stage manager's a woman, and we have one tech male.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
Token
we
male.
We love our men, too. Yes, exactly.
Better to have a token man than a token woman, right?
That's right. That's right. And the festival features staged readings where mm-hmm. the actors are book in hand, but they give really wonderful performances. And the works are about women finding recognition, up against health battles, trying to make decisions in their lives mm-hmm. about where they want to go. They're women pushed to extreme by the barriers that are facing them. It's how far will women go to get what they want? And most of the plays are about 10 minutes each. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a program of about, 80 to 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we always have refreshments. And it's a really always good acting, always good writing. The 29th Street Playwrights is dedicated to the emerging mature playwright. Mm-hmm. So we have a little niche there, and to gender parity in theater. So
talk mm-hmm. to us a little bit about Minnie's Comeback. Is that the one that's
yes.
going to be in the festival?
Yes, that's my play. That's the play that I wrote.
Tell us about Minnie's Comeback.
Oh, gosh. Okay. It's about a singer who is on the, who gets a remix of her, she's sort of a one-hit wonder, mm-hmm. and she gets a remix, and she's suddenly back on the charts. And she is confronted at 5 a.m. by knocking on the door of her former producer lover.
Oh.
How far will she go to get this comeback? And mm-hmm. What is their history? What
sounds like he's the one promising to make her a star again? Is that right?
I think he wants a piece of her.
Okay.
So.
In probably more ways than one.
Ways than one.
Yeah.
And yes, so it's delving into the music history. Mm-hmm. I was a former singer myself, so I just made a character based on a lot of the things that I had seen, experienced.
So that was your inspiration
for writing this.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that also we have plays by Suzanne Willett, Robin Rice, Fenger Gale, Renee Flemings, Sharon Cooper, Cindy Cooper, and Pat Davis as well. Directors are Jessica Bauman, Lucy Graham, Chelsea Anderson Long, and Rachel Murray. And again, that's the 29th Street Playwrights Collective that's putting all of this on, and that is March 1st.
Mm-hmm. Feisty Women Festival.
Feisty Women Festival. Absolutely.
Kicking off WHAM.
So tell me just a little bit about what got you into playwriting. Are there women who influenced you? What brought you into that?
I was working for a very long time in marketing and writing. I was a writing major in Columbia when I went to Columbia. And what got me into playwriting was meeting Graham Russell of Air Supply, actually, because he was looking for someone to put his music, to put a book to his music. And we ended up doing this project together called Lost in Love, which we then raised about $5,000 for the Actors Fund, and worked on that.
Yeah. So how did you meet him?
Through a mutual friend at BB King's, and it was he's just a wonderful person, and I decided to pitch him about when I heard that this was what he was looking for. I worked as a creative, and he said, if you come up with an idea, send it to me. Well, if you're working as a creative where you have to turn things around in 2 hours, you pretty much come up with ideas when somebody asks you to make an
let's try this.
Yes, it's true. I spent about 2 weeks preparing what I felt would work, and then I pitched him, and all of a sudden he sent me a song.
So you had the skills to put all that together in a short time.
Yeah, and then I started going on. I started, working... writing and started writing every day, and Graham and I worked on another piece together where it was a reimagining of Treasure Island, and that we did get an off-Broadway run for 16 performances.
Yeah, nice.
And that was a musical as well.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Are there any women artists or playwrights that you really have inspired you?
Well, Emma Goldman Sherman is a big inspiration to us. She is founded the 29th Street Playwrights, and she really is a wonderful playwright herself, but she gives us prompts, and she works. She has a workshop that is at Goddard Riverside as well every Monday, and people come and they can write together, and then we can present scenes and short scenes, and the actors are there. So it's been a very exciting time for me to be working with 29th Street Playwrights and with Emma.
Yeah, and Emma was slated to be here today. Yes. She couldn't make it because she does have a performance in this WHAM.
Yes, she is. She has a performance coming up on the 26th. Called Fucked, and it's very, very interesting show. I recommend everyone to come and see it. It's groundbreaking.
Yes, totally. Mm-hmm. I read the description of it, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, perhaps. But right now, we are going to go to our sponsor spot.
Wow. WHAM. That's a great festival that's coming up here in March, and I can't wait to get out to see as much of it as possible, and we invite our listeners to get to see as much of this festival and these great works by women artists during the month of March, Women's History Month. And it's my pleasure to present our sponsor spot today. And our sponsor is Funkadelic Studios, who is our venue partner here for Salon Radio. Funkadelic Studios prides itself on having everything a musician needs to continuously advance their career, regardless of where a musician is in their creative journey. This obligation of service to their artistic community in New York is what gravitates many musicians to Funkadelic Studios. Beyond rehearsal and recording, Funkadelic provides other great features to benefit the creative and career musician. It is a one-stop shop offering discounts for teaching sessions, open mic nights, weekly jam sessions, affordable event space, and internship opportunities. Equipment repairs, gear rental, and gear storage are a few more of the services they provide. And here at Funkadelic, they understand what music is really about, a feeling, a groove, a dream, and most importantly, the people who create them. And we thank Don Orlando and Funkadelic Studios for being our great venue partner, and we look forward to many, many years of working with them. And you can find out more about Funkadelic Studios on their website, which is funkadelicstudios.com. And now I'll turn it back over to Maureen.
And next we have Susan Lee. She is the executive director of Hudson Warehouse, and her company is presenting Trojan Women. And that's going to be all part of this WAM Festival of Women's Artistry. And this is going to be a modern adaptation of Euripides' Trojan Women, and it is based on the works of Charles Mee, directed by Nicholas Martin Smith. It drives home the lesson that the fight against the oppression and subjugation of women that we're only now confronting has been a fight throughout the ages. With the men annihilated and their city in ruins, the women of Troy are corralled into a makeshift prison, awaiting their fate at the hands of their brutal captors. And they stress that this is a PG-13 production, so you might not want to bring the littles to that one. So, Susan, tell us how you got involved with WAM. How did you get Hudson Warehouse and this piece into this wonderful Festival of Women's Artistry?
Thank you for having me. I just want to start off by saying Hudson Warehouse is a classical theater company. We've been doing outdoor theater in Riverside Park for the past 15 years.
Wow.
We perform at the Soldiers and Sailors Monument, mm-hmm. on Riverside Drive and 89th, and we do three productions a summer. And so I got involved in Hudson Warehouse in the summer of 2010, and it turns out that Trojan Women was the very first show that I produced for Hudson Warehouse in June of 2010.
And so that was outside venue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was a very stark modern telling of the story. Mm-hmm. And Nicholas Martin Smith, who was the founder and the director of Trojan Women, also adapted Chuck Mee's script, mm-hmm. and even made it more modernized and more of the day. And so it was a very graphic and pretty brutal, mm-hmm. adaptation, which is why it was PG-13.
Right.
And we really, really wanted to show viscerally the effects of the brutality, mm-hmm. and what women go through after 10 years of being assaulted and through, mm-hmm. The times of war. And so it was a very graphic but very memorable production. Mm-hmm. And then so go forward a few years. In 2013, Hudson Warehouse won the Good Neighbor Award from Goddard Riverside Community Center.
Oh.
And it was the most thrilling award because it was to give us recognition for our giving arts to the community.
Yeah.
And so we were recognized for that. And so that summer of 2013, Susan Macaluso came and saw all three of our shows. And by fall of 2013, she invited us to be the resident theater company of the Burning Wall Center at Goddard Riverside.
Wonderful.
So that was very thrilling because we went from being an outdoor theater company, mm-hmm. to now having the opportunity to do indoor theater, having a roof over our heads, literally.
That's wonderful. So that expands the number of months where you can perform, definitely.
Yes,
are you still doing the outside the summer?
Yes. This summer where we... 15 years now in the park.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, our summer season in June, we'll be doing Romeo and Juliet, mm-hmm. and July we'll be doing The Three Musketeers 20 Years Later, which is my own original adaptation.
That sounds like so much fun. Later.
Yes, it is. And then in August we'll be finishing it off with Hamlet. And we're doing these three big hitters because it's our 15th anniversary.
Yeah.
And we wanted to do something really big for this 15th anniversary. So anyway, so as the resident theater company, we've had wonderful opportunities to put on some great productions at Goddard Riverside. And so when Susan Macaluso asked us, well, Hudson Warehouse, what do you want to do for Wham? We felt very keenly the current climate. Mm-hmm. We just felt so, everybody, men and women, were just feeling the sense of oppression and feeling a sense of being assaulted and feeling that our rights were being stripped away from us.
Right.
Men and women, everybody felt the sense of hopelessness. And then we just remembered about this production we did so many years ago of Trojan Women. And how it seems so fitting right now of these women, of these strong women feeling so helpless to their captors.
Yeah, and that was 8 years ago. When
yes. And yet it's somehow even more fitting now.
Right.
And so with this modern adaptation and the retelling of it in a modern setting, I just feel like it's going to really resonate even more now than ever.
Yeah,
so we were very excited to have this opportunity to remount it at Goddard with the way we're all feeling.
Yeah, so. I'm excited to come see it now. You've got me all jazzed up about it.
Thank you. That's
going to be March 15 through 18, March 22 to 25. That's Thursday to Saturday at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. And it sounds like it's going to be an amazing production. I really can't wait to see it.
Thank you so much.
But Susan, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the arts. What's your history? What drew you into doing this and even to just being an executive director of a theater?
Well, my background is actually in television. I started off at WGBH in Boston and worked for the Nova series for 3 years. Which was fabulous. And then when I moved to New York City, I worked for 12 years at WNET, Channel 13.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of experience producing and writing documentaries for PBS.
Oh.
So that's really my background and my love.
Right.
So writing is really my love, telling stories, obviously, with documentary work. I got involved with Hudson Warehouse, like I said, in 2010. And the experience for me in live theater is far more gratifying. I love television. Don't get me wrong. I love TV. But when you put it out there in the world, you don't know who's watching. But when you put on a live theatrical performance, you have the audience right there coming to you after a show to tell you what that show meant to them. And it's incredibly gratifying to have people come up to you and thank you for your work. So that immediacy of theater is something that you cannot have in television. And I really felt the community's response to what we do. And we're lucky we're in a public park. We attract people from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have 200 people in our audience easily.
Right.
And they come from all over the country, all over the city. And so it's a really open, accessible venue. And so for me, theater and that immediate connection to people was so thrilling and so satisfying that we just want to do more of it. And I just want to share also, we have a partnership with the Department of Corrections. One of our company members, Tommy Demenkoff, is the he's the director of arts education in the jail system. And he has arranged for us to bring Trojan Women into the jails. So after we're done with our performances at Bernie Wall, we'll be going into jails in April.
Okay.
So I feel like taking our mission is to give arts to those for whom arts is not so readily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think the prison population is the perfect audience for this.
I think it would be interesting to get their feedback.
Yes.
On seeing something like this.
And yes, thank you. And I just, as a sidebar, I just came from jail last night. we just finished doing a 2-day Valentine's Day festival at the Bernie Wall Center just earlier this week.
Yeah.
And then we had inmates also submit to the festival, 32 inmates submitted. Mm-hmm. And we picked some winners from those submissions. And we went back into the prisons last night, and we gave back the festival to them. And so the feedback from them was astounding. They said they could finally feel again in a place where they shut off from their emotions. They were able to feel something, and they felt like they were back home. And one person said, home for them was Riverside Park. So just hearing us giving back their monologues made them feel like they were back home. So that's the power of art. That's the power of theater.
What a wonderful experience.
Yes. So, again, bringing Treasure Women, which is a prison piece,
right,
into prisons is the perfect circular experience.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Susan, for coming in and sharing all of that with
us. Thank you for having
me. It's beautiful, beautiful. We're going to go on now to our fourth guest. I have with us Sarah Pillow.
Hello.
Hi, Sarah. She's going to be involved with WHAM in a piece called Perpetual Motion, Galileo and His Revolutions. So, Sarah, tell us a bit about this piece. It's musical. Okay.
Yes, it's very musical. It's actually a multimedia program, and it's putting together music from the time of Galileo and storytelling about the intersection of science and music in the 17th century and how the two disciplines complemented each other in discoveries of, you know, scientific discovery, and a screen of images from NASA, of the heavens, of nature on Earth, of animation of the planet's rotation in the heavens. And it's all kind of going on as a stream of consciousness behind the storytelling and the music. And it's basically coming out of my relationship with Dava Sobel, who is a wonderful best-selling author of Galileo's Daughter and Longitude and the Planets. And her latest book is called The Glass Universe, which is about a group of Harvard women who basically helped modern science in their research on star spectra. So it's like a little heady. but Dava has this uncanny ability to make complex scientific, you know, complex scientific principles understandable by the layperson. And I'm one of them. So
I'd say most of us are the lay people in that area. Right?
So she's really amazing. And we started our relationship in that I started my group, which is called Galileo's Daughters. It was first, I'm not sure what we were calling ourselves, but I thought, wow, it'd be great to be called Galileo's Daughter because I'm doing all this music from the 17th century. And Galileo's daughter was a nun. She was one of three children of Galileo. And she and her sister were in a convent. And she wrote all these letters that survive to her father. And that's what David put that in a book, in the book Galileo's Daughter. So I had a mutual friend, and so I contacted her and I said, could we name our group after your book? And she said, well, you can't copyright a title, but I would be honored if you did that. Mm-hmm. And then we invited her to read some of the letters from the daughter while we did music from women composers from the time and other composers, you know, men. And it was just kind of a way to bring people to the past and to just see kind of a bigger picture of life of that time and people's thoughts and how it's actually not that far from how we think today. You know, you think that they're so antiquated, but actually there's so much that you can connect to.
Right. So then you're going to have Dava reading.
She'll be
doing the storytelling, narrating. And yourself, Marianne Ballard, Ron McFarlane, and Mark Wagnon.
Mark is the video artist.
Okay. Yeah. So he's taking care of all the images.
The
images and the projections.
Yeah. It'll be in real time. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of actually changing the images and doing all of that as the performance is going on. Yeah.
And then speak to how you and Marianne and Ron are working together on this piece.
Well, I'm the singer, and so I am singing cantatas and motets and things from Monteverdi and Henry Purcell and Barbara Strozzi, who was a female composer from the 17th century. And Ron is our lutenist, and he kind of represents Vincenzo Galilei, who was the father of Galileo. And Vincenzo was a music theorist and composer and lute player. And so he really was very instrumental, excuse the pun, in Galileo understanding the importance of experimentation, because his father was a music theorist, and he would do all these crazy experiments with strings in testing, you know, sounds and how that relates to the lute and tuning of the lute. And so Galileo was his assistant, like, as a young boy. So that was an interesting thing. And then Marianne Ballard is our viola da gamba player, and it's gamba means legs in Italian, and so it's like the violin of the leg. So it's like an early cello.
Okay.
And it just creates a nice bass sound. It's kind of, you know, that rounds out the trio.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Yeah. And that is going to be on Sunday, March 4th at 4 p.m.
You know, I just want to add that when we were curating all this, and finally we had all the shows, and there were still other, you know, people were still referring people. I says, no more. I can't put any more on the calendar. So then Jessica Gould with Salon Sanctuary, who is actually presenting this piece, called me, and she says, you know, Susan, I have this great idea for the festival, and Davis Sobel. I go, what? Davis Sobel is going to be here? I says, fine, we've got room.
Susan, thank you. Oh, yes, please. Please jump in. And if you want to jump on in and tell us anything more about the festival.
Well, actually, I do. Good. Is that anyone who comes to the festival and purchases a ticket, part of the proceeds is going to go to our performing arts camp. Mm-hmm. It's the third year we'll be doing this camp. Again, it's a very affordable camp, really high quality. It's run like a conservatory. And to make it affordable and accessible, we certainly need to raise monies to do that. So part of the festival will be supporting our young artists of the future, at least. If they're not going to be artists, they'll certainly be able to use the creative thinking that we teach them in anything that they do.
Mm-hmm. Now, how can we get tickets for this amazing event?
I think the easiest is to go to goddard.org/community arts, and there's a whole listing of all of the shows and links to the different tickets. You can also go to eventbrite.goddard.org, and there is a listing of shows there also.
Wonderful. And I just want to go through some of the things that are happening to remind everyone. Monday, March 1st, 7:30, the Feisty Women's Festival with our 29th Street Playwrights Collective. Melissa Bell is going to be presenting a piece in that. Saturday, March 3rd, we have Rhonda Musak, who we're going to talk with in a moment, about Rhonda Badanda, The Adventures of a Girl with a Pain in Her Brain. So we're gonna speak with Rhonda very shortly about that. Again, Sunday, March 4th, Sarah Pillow with Perpetual Motion, Galileo and His Revolutions. That's at 4 in the afternoon. Tuesday, March 6th at 7:30, Batala, represented by Afro Roots. Thursday, March 8th at 7:30, An Unknown Country by Ava Zelig. Saturday, March 10th at 7:30, The Pink Hulk, One Woman's Journey to Find the Superhero Within. And we know Valerie David. She's one of our Salonistas.
We do. And Emma also. They both have been on Salon Radio before.
Wonderful. And then we have Tuesday, March 13th, 7:30, You Never Told Me, a premiere of the video and a panel discussion with artist Cassandra Kabinski and director Jessica Costa. And then we come into Trojan Women, March 15 through 18 and 22 through 25. That's Thursday to Saturday, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and that is presented by Hudson Warehouse. Then Tuesday, March 20th, we have at 7:30, Alakanda, presented by Afro Roots. And Monday, March 26th at 7, we have Fucked by Emma Goldman Sherman. This wonderful play, autobiographical one-woman show, which becomes a meta-theatrical romp with three versions of Emma vying to survive her story. And that sounds like an amazing piece. I'm putting that one on my schedule. Definitely. March 28th at 7:30, Funny Women, An Evening of Humor, presented by Katha Gentis, hosted by Sandy Marks. And March 30th 7:30 p.m., Demerara Gold with Ingrid Griffith. That's a solo play. And we were hoping to have Ingrid here today, but she couldn't make it. So please come on out and support that March 30th and meet Ingrid and see her piece, Demerara Gold, about a 7-year-old girl who's left behind in the clutches of her grandmother's in the Caribbean when her parents get visas for the U.S. and the reality of her American life after the long-awaited reunion. That sounds really interesting. Beautiful piece. And so I think we're going to go ahead and go into our bulletin for the month. And here we are with our Salon Bulletin. Coming up in March, our wonderful annual celebration of International Women Artists, Thursday, March 8th. This is on International Women's Day. And we're going to be at Dixon Place this year, presenting a celebration of international women artists from history and the here and now on International Women's Day. New York-based women artists pay homage to a woman artist from their chosen homeland, representing more than 25 nations in tribute to women's artistry across the globe. This year includes a small visual art exhibit, and that runs during the whole month of March. This is a multidisciplinary event, including monologues, songs, dance, and commentaries, celebrating the legacy of cultural riches created by women around the world and sustained today by international women creatives living in the city of New York. Working with the Optimistics Theater Collective, the International Women Artists Salon looks forward to its 7th collaboration with the League of Professional Theater Women and their International Committee, as well as dozens of other independent artists from all disciplines. Salon Symphony first found its voice in the lounge at Dixon Place in 2012. 7 years on, the chorus of women's artistry from around the world has graduated to the Dixon Place main stage, inviting more people than ever to join the celebration. Dixon Place is the venue for this event. That's Thursday, March 8th. Doors open for mingling in the cocktail lounge at 7. The main stage production begins at 7:30 for a 90-minute showcase. There is no intermission, with mingling and celebrating in Dixon Place's lounge thereafter. For all who are inspired by women artists, come on out. Advance reservations are recommended via DixonPlace.org for discounted tickets of $14. Senior students and NYC ID will get you that discount, and $17 general in advance. Unreserved seating on the day is subject to availability for $17 senior students, NYC ID, and $20 general advance at the door. Proceeds will support women artists everywhere. As well, at Dixon Place, the salon has our monthly showcase. Now, usually we do this the third Saturday, but in February, it's going to be on Thursday the 22nd this time. And then in March, we're going to be on Saturday the 24th. This is always free. It's from 7:30 to 8:30 in the lounge at Dixon Place. Come out and enjoy our monthly showcase. And now we are going to take it back to our interviews. Okay, Salonistas, our next guest is Rhonda Muzak, an actor, writer, and acting coach here in New York City. She's appeared in numerous NYC productions, including the title role of Ondine with Deepwater Productions. Other favorites include The Good Person of Szechuan, Measure for Measure, and The Marriage Proposal. She has a piece coming up, and it is called Rhonda Badanda, The Adventures of a Girl with a Pain in Her Brain. And this is going to be a really interesting little piece, because I want Rhonda to talk to us about what this is all about and how you were inspired to actually write this piece.
Well, hi. Thank you so much for having me. So, Rhonda Badanda, The Adventures of a Girl with a Pain in Her Brain. It is a solo show. And the show really is about a message of hope. It is, it's about moving beyond the limitations of learning disabilities. And these, for me, were learning disabilities that were hidden and invisible to me, to everyone in my life. And they had really misshaped my whole life. And so this show is about moving beyond, that's who I am, that's just the way I am, mm-hmm. and moving into something new and something more.
So there's a healing process that you went through.
There is a definite healing process. And I want to go ahead and say the learning disabilities are sensory processing disorder and audio processing disorder. So those are learning disabilities that I had never heard of. Mm-hmm. And they went undetected throughout my entire life. And finally, what had started happening for me was I was becoming so overwhelmed in my day that I couldn't even think. I could get a full night of sleep by sometimes by 10 in the morning. I couldn't think one thought to another. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what was going on for me.
So explain to us what these two processing disorders do.
So sensory processing disorder is sort of the umbrella. Mm-hmm. And sensory processing disorder is, imagine all of the senses of the world, the sight, hearing, sound, taste, touch. They get jammed up in your brain and they create a dam. And that dam only lets little bits of yourself trickle through. So you're really, your brain is not able to process mm-hmm. everything that's going on. Now, audio processing disorder is really about, and again, it's under the umbrella of sensory processing disorder. Audio processing disorder is about not being able to take in words, conversations, pieces of information. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a part in my show where I say I'm hanging out with a group of people that I really like and everybody's having fun and I want to participate in the conversation, but it seems by the time I catch the words spoken, figure out a way to respond, and then try to respond, that moment is past. And that was my life for most of my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this went undiagnosed until I really could not function anymore. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a situation of I connected with my acting coach. We had dinner together, and she was talking about her son who has Asperger's. Mm-hmm. And she started talking about a healing therapy that he was doing called the Tomatis method. And she went through one by one all of these things that were changing in his life. And I thought, oh my goodness, me, that mm-hmm. is what I need. And yeah. I literally was at the end of my rope, on my knees, praying to God because I had no idea what was going on.
Right. Yeah. So how did that affect you growing up? I mean, what kind of things happened to you as you grew up?
Well, we start the show where I am studying for a spelling test with my mom. And one of the devices that I use in the show is going into my brain. So I literally take the audience inside my brain and go through what it takes in order for me to find one letter. So, you know, in that first segment, I have to go inside my brain, but first I have to figure out which direction to go to. Then I have to slay a dragon. Then I have to climb a mountain. Then I have to find a filing cabinet. And then I have to open the drawer. Then I find the one letter. And then I go through and I have to get back down again. Then I'm in the kitchen and I give the letter to my mom.
Wow.
And then she's like, okay, next letter. And then next word. And, you know, that was one of the things that I dealt with growing up. But here's the thing, is because I was so responsible and my grades were actually pretty good in school. Nobody really realized what's mm-hmm. going on. And the woman, Valerie, whom I worked with as my who did the Tomatis method with me and whom I still work with, she said, girls internalize their problems where boys become the class clowns. Mm-hmm. And girls just try harder and harder and harder. And that is what I did.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, and I had dreams and I had visions and there were things that I wanted to do. And I was constantly, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And yeah. There was always this thing holding me back.
So what brought you into theater, into acting?
I always loved acting. I always loved theater, as much of it as that I could do growing up. And I look back now and, you know, my life has, again, so been shaped or misshaped by these learning disabilities. I think acting for me at first, it was a way to take the pressure off my system that didn't know how to communicate. All of a sudden, I had somebody else's words that I could use to communicate my life through. And that really, you know, after I've now done the Tomatis method, I have experienced a huge amount of healing. I am now starting to find my own voice. And this show is really, a celebration of that.
And you have taken this show on tour. Mm-hmm. It has been performed here in New York already.
It has.
And then you've been to Vancouver, British Columbia, Lincoln, Nebraska, Bluffton, South Carolina. Where else have you gone? Is that the
That's where I've gone right now. I'll be at SUNY Purchase later in March.
Yep.
And really working on, at this point, trying to get the show to as many places as possible.
Are there particular types of venues or organizations that you're trying to take it to?
I would love, really, the autism community is, the boy I talk about in my show, he's always at my shows, and he spoke at the last show saying that segment about crawling into your brain, trying to find things, and I do that several times during the show. He's like, that's spot on. So I know, you know, the autism community is closely related, though my sensory processing disorder is non-autistic. Though there are several branches of autistic processing disorders.
Right.
So really, that is my main focus right now.
That is wonderful. That's beautiful. So, and now your show is going to be Saturday, March 3rd at 8 p.m.
Saturday, yes.
In the WHAM Center at the Bernie Wohl Center.
And may I say, I do want to shout out to my wonderful director, Gareth Hendy, who has been a part of this project since the beginning, as well as my movement director, Joan Evans. And we will all be there with Valerie Dijon, who will be speaking about the Tomatis method and processing disorders. So it will be a riveting conversation, I promise.
So you'll have the show and then this talk back with Valerie.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful. That is amazing.
Incredible.
What are you have? Do you have any other projects going on? I know you're going to be taking this show to SUNY Purchase on Thursday, the 15th of March. That's at 7 p.m. in the Red Room at SUNY Purchase. Do you have other projects that you're working on?
This is my project right now.
Just focusing on this and getting it out there.
And I'm also an acting coach, so always working with acting students at Art and Soul Acting. So that's my focus. And really getting this out in the world, I feel like people are finally starting to pay attention to processing disorders. And so many of those kids in the past have been labeled as dumb and not smart. And I have a whole thing about that in my show. And this is finally opening the doors are becoming open to an understanding that these kids aren't dumb.
Right.
They are struggling and they are working harder than anyone else.
Yeah, and there are also, you know, so many just schools you could take this to.
Yes.
You know, because they all have programs for learning disabilities.
Yes, and that's my hope. and my plan.
Wonderful. That is amazing.
And speaking of which, if you could just mention how best people can get in touch with you to bring your show to their school or their community.
Yes. Please visit my website, which is rhondabadonda.com. So that is R-H-O-N-D-A, B as in boy, A-D-O-N-D-A.com. And you can email me there, and I will happily get you a packet. We can connect and take it from there.
Wonderful. And then as well, just to mention once again, she has artandsoulacting.com if you want to get in touch with her about her marvelous skills as an acting coach. Thank you so much, Rhonda, for coming in today. It's been wonderful to talk to you about this piece, and I hope it goes so, so far and really reaches a lot of people and opens doors and minds.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Wonderful. And we just want to thank Melissa Bell once again for curating this fabulous program for us today and bringing everyone together.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's wonderful. Thank you so much for bringing Wham to us.
Yes, it's going to be an exciting month. I've got my calendar all filled out of all the shows I want to see, so hoping to see a lot of people there.
Yes, and again, they can go to, what's the website again to get
Goddard.org.
Goddard.org, very good. And then you can get information about all of the wonderful shows that are going to be playing in March.
Right, the community arts page, so on Goddard.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, Maureen Vantrease, for your prowess and expertise in presenting these amazing women artists. And that is our mission of International Women Artists Salon, to present amazing works by women creatives around the world, all disciplines, all backgrounds, all generations, and all cultures. And it's just incredible what's being created out there, and it's our honor to be in touch with all these amazing women, and thank you to all the women who are here today presenting their work. And we do invite everybody to get out during the month of March. It's Women's History Month, and as well as International Women's Day on March 8th, which is a global celebration. And you can reach us to find out more about all these artists and our events upcoming, as well as many other things that are happening, news, awards, etc., on all of our social media. You can find us on International Women Artists Salon fan page on Facebook and our YouTube channel. And for Twitter and Instagram, it's Women Art Salon. And we have a blog, womenartsalon.blogspot.com. And if you'd like to join us, partner with us, or sponsor us, or just give us a hey, shout out, and say how much our work and women's work means to you, you can reach us at womenartsalon@gmail.com. And we thank Funkadelic Studios for hosting us. And we do hope that you will tune in on our podbean.com podcast platform to listen to Salon Radio weekly. Thank you for listening. Get out to see some women's work this weekend.